The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Epidemiologists have found humans across the globe are becoming increasingly less fertile.
After finding Western men are only half as fertile as they were just 40 years ago.
You're certainly going to have more and more men having trouble having children.
Fertility has dropped worldwide at the same rate as sperm count has declined.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This is a really weird story, to say the least, and I'm not quite sure why it is. Why are young women experiencing puberty earlier than they've ever done before? And why is it that male sperm count, and this is a global phenomenon, it's not just in the U.S., has decreased by 50%, as you heard, in just four decades? I have a theory. I'm not a scientist or a physician. I think the levels of estrogen right now that we are ingesting unaware, you know, we get it through all these estrogen mimickers from the plastics that we are exposed to. You know, how about all the fertilizer and the runoff? What about how you, many people do their own properties? You might have a well. Is it possible that estrogen is playing a role in this? And this is a fair warning to any parent who's listening and may have kids. You may want to, you know, use your discernment as whether or not you want your children to hear the next segment. You can always listen to our podcast. If for some reason you've got kids, you think, oh, this might be too much for them. Podcasts can be found on anywhere podcasts are held or listened to. So feel free to go ahead and do that or go to relevantradio.com. Maggie normally has a show up about an hour after we're off the air. A few weeks ago, I was talking about Paul Ehrlich. He's the man who claims there's this population explosion, and he made it, had a lot of fame. He was on 60 Minutes, and he's selling the same old lie, same old stuff. There's too many people on the planet, you know? We're not going to be able to feed them. The planet's going to die. I mean, he's been wrong year after year after year, considering that the World Bank says poverty worldwide has declined 38% to just above 8%. In 30 years. I mean, that speaks volumes. You have to take a look at technological advances, too, and how we've been able to feed the world. It seems like the planet can sustain the human race even as we get larger. And that's because I think that's how God created it, right? Besides that, we know that the population's going to start declining. I mean, just take a look at basic demographics. South Korea, I saw a stat this morning. Check this one out. This is stunning. Absolutely stunning. Replacement rate, right? To sustain a population, you need 2.1 children per fertile woman. 2.1. That's your magic number. Remember that one, okay? South Korea, they just came out with a statistic showing that they have, not North Korea, South Korea, they have the lowest fertility rate on the planet. They are at 0.78%. 0.78% fertile woman, per fertile woman. It's crazy, less than 1%. A sustained population needs 2.1 children per fertile woman. Japan, they're at 1.6 million, right? People who died last year. They've recently reported that, you know, people are I think they had 80,000 less babies born. I mean, you take a look at nations, like Italy, you take a look at Russia, you take a look at a lot of countries. Even China itself's changed its one policy. It's one child policy law to two children, and then they've even changed that. They are understanding that they're going to be having this demographic winter. The kind of imbalance that we're seeing has been going on for a decade, and we're now in a really troubling position. On top of that, researchers at Hebrew University, they poured over some data compiled from studies over about a 46-year span, and this is what they found. They found that sperm count across the globe has fallen 50%. Maybe you're struggling to get pregnant right now. Maybe you're thinking, well, my eggs are fine. Could it be your spouse? Could it be your husband? Sperm count down 50% in four plus decades. What's more, since 2000, the rate of decline has doubled. So they don't see why it's happening. You know, and I don't have the answer for it. That's why I'm inviting today Jeannie Hahnemann and her husband Bruce, co-founders of Reclaim, an international co-founders of the Elizabeth Ministry, which deals with pregnancy loss. They've spoken about this in the past, and thought I'd get their expertise and their own knowledge on this as well. You can check them out, too. They're on the forefront of helping men and women heal from pornography addiction. I'm going to give you a resource, and maybe I'll have them back to talk about this one day. It's called ReclaimSexualHealth.com. So if you have a loved one dealing with porn and a porn addiction, ReclaimSexualHealth.com. You're going to learn a ton at that website. Hey, Bruce, Jeannie, good afternoon. Good to have you back.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Thanks so much
for
being here.
It's great to be here.
No, I love having you. I thought of you this morning. So I saw this story come across the my radar. The male fertility figure, I want to start with that. It's the most alarming. In over four decades, it's dropped 50%. That's very disturbing. My guess is, it must be an increase in estrogen amongst other things. I don't know. What are your ideas in terms of what's causing this?
Well, Drew, I think to really look at this whole picture of infertility and what we're going to add to it today is what we call gender bending. So all the different environmental and relational activities that have been going on in the last several decades have caused all this infertility, both male and female. You're pointing out the male, which is really huge of a problem right now, but also that gender bending. And we're not just saying about, he's and she's and watching a terminology, but physically the problems that happen when a pregnant woman is environmentally causing her baby to be washed, especially if it's a male baby, to be washed in a lot of these pseudoestrogens, as you mentioned, a lot of these hormones that then are causing serious risks in our little baby boys in utero already.
Wow. And Bruce, any ideas on your end?
Absolutely, Drew. This whole thing is way out of hand right now. And it we talk about the pseudoestrogens. But a lot of people talk about, they always think, well, it's plastic and it's pesticides. It goes much further than that. There are plant estrogens called phytoestrogens that are also contributing. And what's a lot of going on in our diets nowadays, everybody's talking soy. Soy products are one of the leading sources in people's diets of these phytoestrogens. Another one that is on nobody's radar screen really to speak of except the research is acetaminophen.
Oh, really?
Brand name Tylenol, as an example, acetaminophen acts as an estrogen compound, especially if females are taking it, during their pregnancy while they have a child in utero. It can have gender bending effects on the fetus that's developing in utero within them.
That's fascinating. I never heard of that. I've been hearing a lot of really negative things about acetaminophen recently, but I never heard that. That's amazing. You both are involved in helping people heal from pornography. I wonder, and we see so many young people now getting married later. These fertility declines, these demographic drops, so to speak, not fertility declines as much as demographic declines. Is porn playing any role in that at all? Men just choosing not to have to engage with women? Is that affecting the stats or the numbers?
Absolutely. We've gone to the point of sex without babies, and now we're having babies without sex. So sex without babies, whether that be contraception or the use of porn and masturbation, or babies without sex doing in vitro fertilization and such things. So we've really, by delaying our time when we are getting married, absolutely that's going to decline our fertility rate. But when you asked about pornography, I think that's something people do not understand, that more studies are coming out now to show that the earlier there's pornography use, it is associated with lower serum prolactin, follicle-stimulating hormone, and progesterone, and serum estrogen, which causes lower sperm concentration and a lower sperm count. So absolutely there is a connection with pornography use.
If you want to join us too, let me open the phones. You can get in now. I have Jeannie and Bruce for a very short time today. The number to get in, if you got a question or a comment or an insight, or you want to just join the conversation, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. So we are seeing declining sperm rates. We are also seeing women, Jeannie and Bruce, reaching puberty at much, much earlier ages. What's the theory behind that? Why are young girls entering puberty younger?
Well, there's two major things. One is what we've kind of been talking about here, all the pseudoestrogens that they're washed in already during in utero with mom using cosmetics and nail polishes and any creams. You know, all of us putting fingernail polish on our little girls, which is highly dangerous because that has got the pseudoestrogen in it. All those types of things affect it. But another piece that we're learning is that too much light within a woman's body, within a girl's body, will have her start her menstrual cycle earlier because we're still somewhat connected to the moon. You know, menstruation is considered connected to the light.
Sure.
And years ago, we didn't have electric lights to keep up late at night. And so girls had a longer period of darkness, and that allowed them to have a kind of a rhythm within their systems. Today, if you think about how many girls are up with lights late at night, on lights early in the morning, and especially the lights off of their phones or computers or any of those digital, you know, items, all of that extra light is tricking their body into thinking they are older than they actually are. And that's why we have an earlier age for the onset of menses.
That's absolutely amazing. My call screener today said, you know, and maybe you can't answer this question, but I do think it must play some sort of role. Do cell phones, some of the waves that we're now getting from 5G, things along those lines, I don't know if you studied this or not, do you think that's playing a role in affecting sperm count?
Well, there haven't been a lot of scientific studies linking it all yet, but if you look at the effects of the of those magnetic radiations on the human body, they definitely affect body chemistry. And anything that any little tweak at all, the first studies that were done on electromagnetic forces and stuff back when they were worried about power line problems or whatever, showed that there is no critical, okay, there's a maximum dose and a minimum dose and a safe dose. They showed that any dose to any kind of electromagnetic energy has an effect on the chemistry of the body.
My guest today,
especially the brain.
Bruce and Jeannie Hahnemann. And Bruce, Jeannie, I have a moment or two left, and I just want some final thoughts on you here as well. Are there policies that should change this? Can this be reversed? I mean, where are we right now, and what does the future look like if these trajectories continue?
Well, I think Relevant Radio is one of the answers. We've been talking, you know, what, for about 12, 15 years on Relevant Radio about this particular issue. When we first started talking about it, people thought we were crazy. Now you can do a Google search and you're going to see it everywhere. One of the things we've enjoyed is when we share this, when we're giving talks, say, to high schoolers or college students, they started throwing their water bottles, you know, literally away from them, you know, and saying, get away from this plastics, get away from these plastics. So I think the younger people are hearing more and more about this. And they're also hearing how dangerous pornography is, and they're wanting to get away from that for a variety of reasons, including low sperm count issues and issues with being able to maintain an erection in order to have babies with their spouses. So there's a lot of people who are really starting to say we have to look at this issue. So I think there's great hope.
Great. Let me sneak a quick call in. I know we only have a few minutes here. Carl's been waiting in Milwaukee to join the conversation. Carl, hi. You're on the air with Bruce and Jeannie Hahnemann.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey, Carl. Well, thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to give a quick call and kind of go through a small issue that I've noticed, or actually a big issue that I've noticed in this young adult prayer group that I run. I can't tell you how many men or young boys, you know, young men or I would say probably in between the ages of 16 to 24 talk about how they have or have dealt with porn addiction. And I would say it's probably the largest reason why we're having such low fertility rates. I mean, you see a lot of them have, issues with talking with women, I think. I think that's probably the biggest issue that's causing this, this fertility rate problem, just based on my personal experience.
Well, thanks for what
very,
you do, Carl. Bruce, Gina, I'll let you respond to that, but you know, I know several people have approached me on that issue as well. I mean, there are a lot of young men today, I know in their 20s especially, that are having erection problems, they're having ED, as well as Carl points out, you know, just even the inability to communicate. But Bruce, Jeannie, this is your area of expertise. I'll let you respond.
Yeah, well, he's right on with that whole concept that the it's not only though the sociology of it, not only the idea that they're having trouble with you know, hooking up with or connecting up with a female. It's also, you know, as you mentioned, it's ED. Another thing is that masturbation, which is really what pornography leads people to, compulsive masturbation, the studies are showing definitely decreases sperm quality and sperm quantity, even to the point that even if you masturbate on a regular basis, you can't possibly, your body can't even possibly reproduce or produce enough fertile sperm cells in the length of time between your masturbation events. And so it's just, we're just kind of bleeding the whole system down by that kind of behavior.
You know, one of my, one of our engineers here just ran in the studio, gave me a quick message. They want to know how much do heavy metals affect this? Mercury, lead, cadmium, aluminum, toxic load on liver's ability to filter out toxins and things along those lines.
Well, again, what the heavy metals do is they're, most of the heavy metals interfere with the portions of our body that are the enzymes, and the enzymes are the ones that control all of our biological growth factors and all of our biological production of healthy chemicals. Mm-hmm. And so anytime you throw something in the mix that destroys the way your enzymes are capable of acting, you're going to disrupt that particular chemical cycle, and the byproducts of that cycle will be tainted and damaged.
I got it. Well, Carl, thank you in Milwaukee for your call. Bruce Genie, I've got to leave it there, but I am very grateful. We just scratched the surface of a very broad issue. I'd love to have you back where we could talk much more about it. People want to get in touch with you. What is the best way to do that?
Well, ReclaimSexualHealth.com is the main website. And so they can certainly get a hold of us by contacting that website. It'll give contact information for us there. And they'll also learn a whole lot more about the whole issues of pornography and how that's affecting the relationships and the behaviors and development of young men and women.
Bruce and Jeannie, thank you. That is ReclaimSexualHealth.com. Stay with me when I return. Why are so many young men single? We'll talk about it. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Coming through loud and clear, you're listening to The Drew Mariani Show.
Well, here's a head-turning headline I found at thehill.com. I have no idea what it has to do with politics, which is the Hill's usual beat, right? That's what they're known for, but still unusual. Check out this headline. And headlines, you know, they can be clickbait sometimes. They get your attention. Most young men are single. Most young women are not. I mean, the headline alone, I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense to me. How can most young men be single and most young women not? You know, besides turning your head, you're also left scratching your head, right? You're saying, most young men are single. How can most young women not be single? Here are the stats. Let me give you a couple of these. Dr. Leonard Sachs is going to be stopping by. We'll tap into his expertise as well. According to the Pew Research, here's what they found. 30% of U.S. adults are neither married, living with a partner, nor engaged in a committed relationship. 30% of U.S. adults, not married, living with a partner, or engaged in a committed relationship. Nearly half of all young adults are single, 34% women, and a whopping 63% of men. So the New York Times reported that along with the lack of partnering, there's also a decline in people having sex. We just talked about fertility rates, right? More than 250,000 Americans are telling the General Social Survey in 2021 that they had not had sex even once in the past year. 30% of them were young men compared to 20% of young women. And of course, look, that's not a bad thing if you are not married. Right? If you're unmarried, unmarried men and women shouldn't be. We have to be chaste of whatever our state in life is, right? You know, have to respect the boundaries of marriage. You have to respect the boundaries of the single life. But the fact that so many are unmarried, to me, is a huge problem. I know so many young girls and guys now who are in their 30s and are not married. Late 20s, early 30s. And I'm thinking, what's causing this? Lots of theories. Social media, I think, is a big one. The easy availability of porn, as we talked about, probably another, right? You may have other ideas too, and you can sound off, let me know. But I'd like to get the insights of Dr. Leonard Sachs. He has a lot more knowledge on this than me. He's a very gifted and respected psychologist and physician in Exton, Pennsylvania. And he's authored a couple books. I will highly recommend these. Why Gender Matters, that's one of his books. Boys Adrift, Girls on the Edge, and The Collapse of Parenting. Those are four books for you right there, which are eye-openers if you are a parent. You can find more by going to his website. That's LeonardSachs.com. Sachs is S-A-X, by the way. Doctor, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Thanks for inviting me.
That's always good to talk to you. I don't get the stat personally. I'm sure you probably looked at it. Maybe you can help me better understand. How can 63% of young men be single while only 34% of young women are single?
Right. So I think there's two major factors driving this. First of all, women 18 to 29, which is how they're defining young, their partners are often men 30 or older. So a woman in her mid-20s may be having a partner who's 7 or 8 years older than him, whereas a man who's in his 20s is unlikely to be partnering with a woman who's 7 or 8 years older than him. It happens, but it's much less common. Women prefer older men, but men do not prefer older women to the same extent. That's one factor. The other factor is that a growing proportion of young women are no longer straight. So the best numbers we have for 1960 is about 2% of American women were lesbian or bisexual. And every survey we have from the last 4 years shows that at least 20% of young American women are now lesbian or bisexual. So that's a tenfold increase. In a generation.
What's driving that? I don't mean to cut you. Okay. Forgive me for stepping on you, because I want you to go through that. You finish and then pick that up. I'm just so perplexed at this change in behavior and relationship. But go ahead, Doc. Forgive me.
Okay. So what's driving the tenfold increase in the proportion of young women who are not straight, who describe themselves as bisexual or a lesbian? There's a couple things driving it, but I think it's important to emphasize that a big factor driving it that I've heard from young women themselves is that the men are no good, to be perfectly blunt. We've got a growing proportion of men who are being raised on pornography, 13, 14, 15-year-old boys who are looking at porn. I'm hearing from teenage girls who talk about their boyfriends demanding anal sex at 16 years of age, and the boy says, women love it. And the woman says, what makes you think that? And he says, in the porn films, the women all love it. And the girl says, those are actresses. Let's try shoving something hard up your behind and see how you like it. And look, if you're a young person, if you're a girl and you want to have connection, emotional connection and confide secrets and have a real relationship, and this boy is demanding anal sex, it's like, yuck, I don't want that. Yeah. Well, my friend who's a girl, we snuggle together, we watch movies, and that's where I'm going to get it from. And this is a phenomenon now well documented. I talk about it in my book, Girls on the Edge, this growing proportion of girls who are just so disgusted by the boys that they're finding intimacy elsewhere and not with young men.
Again, I'll put out another cautionary tale for any parent who might just be tuning in. I give a disclaimer at the top of the last hour. Some of the conversation we're going to have here is adult in nature. And you can always go back to the podcast if you can't listen to it now, but I hope you can stay tuned. My guest today, Dr. Yeah. Leonard Sachs.
Yeah, sorry about that. I should have given a trigger warning.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's an adult audience fundamentally, but you never know who's in the car. So I'll give that disclaimer, and people can always listen to it on the podcast, Doctor. But I appreciate your honesty and your candor. I was having a conversation with a 27-year-old girl the other day, and she was saying to me, we were talking about why there's so much gender confusion right now, or why homosexuality. You talk about these girls in other relationships because guys, they're not finding what they need from the men. She says, growing up, she goes, I don't know what it was like in your generation, but when I was growing up, she says, there's so much confusion over this issue. There's so much gender fluidity out there that, if you're young, you're almost not taught, but you almost begin to question well, is it okay to like girls? Is it okay to go down this path? And is this a generational thing? Like when I grew up, I knew I liked girls. You know, that was it. And you know, I never saw the, and maybe it was hidden, but you know, the level of homosexuality and transgenderism and all this stuff in the culture that we see today. Maybe it's more acceptable to talk about it and was always there, doctor. Or maybe because we're talking about it so much and exposing kids to it when they're in grade school, then they're now beginning to question whether or not they're straight or not. Your thoughts on that?
We have a lot of good research on this. And what we've learned is that for many women, sexual orientation is not fixed. And if a woman has a terrible relationship with a man or is raped or abused by a man, she may really be turned off the idea of sexual intimacy with a man. And she may be open to intimacy with a woman. And we've got lots and lots of good studies now showing that women can change sexual orientation over time from straight to bisexual or lesbian. And if you're immersed in a toxic culture, you know, I there was a song a couple of years back called WAP by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, which was a number one hit song in this country, really obscene. But this was a number one hit song, you know, and when I speak to Catholic schools, parents will say, I didn't come here expecting to hear that kind of language. I said, look, this was the number one hit song on YouTube. Your 12-year-old's already seen the video, which is much more offensive than the words. And girls will look at that and they're like, yuck, if that's what cool means, if that's what it means to be a young woman, I want no part of that. And maybe I'm not a young woman because I find that disgusting. And I have encountered many young women who told me exactly that response. The culture has become a toxic culture. And girls immersed in this culture, they're like, I don't want to be Cardi B or Megan Thee Stallion or Kylie Jenner, all of whom were in this video, presenting themselves as objects. And it's like, yuck, that's just not who I am. I want connection. I want relationships. So maybe I'm not a woman, if that's what it means to be a woman. Maybe I'm a man. And there's just, of course, 4,000% increase in young teenage girls who now have decided that they are boys. Again, a reflection of the toxicity of the culture in which we live.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, let's grab a few calls. If you want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149. Let's go to Edgar, Wisconsin. Ron, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I have a suggestion. You know, we're definitely going to need help with having with this problem that we're talking about here. And the memorari to end abortion are clearly working, yeah. You know. So I thought maybe to rid our country of pornography, which causes so many evils, we should invoke St. Joseph in the same way for purity and to just completely clean up our nation. You know, that's it. That's my comment, my suggestion.
Ron, I love it. I think it's a great idea. I think prayer changes things. That's for sure. This is the month of St. Joseph, right? March. And maybe you should start a campaign, but that's a great idea. I'll float it by Relevant, too. It's not a bad idea to do something where we can invoke others to pray for conversion of heart, which is so desperately needed. We do live in a strange time, doctor. I know you're a psychologist as well. You're an MD. You prescribe meds and all sorts of different things. And you've seen this pandemic, this epidemic right now that we have in the culture with anxiety, with depression, with sexual confusion. Your big picture view. I mean, is it accelerating? Is this an anomaly? You know, how do we get back to a level of normalcy?
A growing proportion of young men who are adrift, hence the title of my book, Boys Adrift. Look, traditionally, for all of history, as near as the anthropologist can determine, men have been motivated in part to impress young women, to say, hey, I can be a good provider, so marry me, and that way I can have sex and we'll have kids. And that's a foundation of most cultures of which we have any knowledge. But now we've got this growing proportion of young men who are like, hey. So I was at a college, and the dean of students said, the problem is the young men don't show up for any events. All of our traditional dances, they're gone because none of the men show up. They would rather stay in their dorm room and masturbate over pornography. So I think a lot of parents don't understand how fundamentally the available pornography for boys has transformed American culture, because you now have boys who are not motivated to impress women, and motivating boys to impress women is pretty fundamental. And if they're not motivated, if you have boys who say, as boys have said to me, oh, the girls on online are way prettier. And I say, those aren't girls. Those are pictures on a screen. But you've got a growing proportion of young men who say, as John Mayer, the rock star, told Rolling Stone, I'd rather masturbate over pornography rather than being intimate with. And this is a young rock star who's handsome, who's got crowd of women outside his locked trailer, but doesn't want to see them because he'd rather masturbate over pornography. That's increasingly characteristic of American culture, and it's undermining the foundation of motivation for young men.
Doctor, what are the societal implications of this long term? I mean, we were talking prior to you coming on about a decrease in sperm count. We've seen a decline of over the past 46 years of male sperm count by 40%. Yes. Young girls are experiencing puberty at earlier ages. We're having men like, you know, as you pointed out, it was John Mayer, you just said, who had that, you know, he'd rather... Yes. He'd rather do
Rolling Stone magazine.
He'd rather engage in something digital than the real person, and he's not alone. I mean, I think he's representative of a lot of other guys that are out there. What are the long-term effects of this?
The long-term effect is a collapse in the marriage rate and a collapse in family formation. And we're seeing this not only in the United States, actually, but around the world. This is not a uniquely American phenomenon. Young women, as was mentioned in that article you mentioned on The Hill, young women who say, why do I want to go out with this loser? I'll just go out with my girlfriends.
Right.
If a woman's going to get married or be in a long-term relationship with a man, she's looking for a man who has achieved something, who's achieved at least as much as she has in terms of education and accomplishment, and there are no longer enough good men to go around. And that's what's driving this. This collapse in the marriage rate.
Yeah, well, Brandy in Los Angeles, let me get her on there. I think she's re-echoing kind of what you said. Brandy, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Yeah, I have an experience with this. I have a child with a man around my age, and we were planning to get married, but he didn't want to get married. So we broke up, and now he doesn't want to pay any child support, and dating. Guys don't want to pay for dates. They don't want to put any effort into anything, really. And they expect women to pay for everything. And,
well, Brandy, I don't disagree with you. I'm sure you probably had some really bad experiences. And I'm sorry for that. I know some guys who feel that way about women. In fact, I have an email here, doctor. Maybe I'll share it. That's coming up. I mean, I hate to broad brush everything, but there are some guys out there who are terribly formed. There's no question about that. And there's some women on both sides. But, doctor, your thoughts, you heard Brandy. I think there are good men out there. I think there's a lot of good men looking for a lot of good women. The question is, they don't seem to be connecting. Why is that? What are you finding? What are the impediments? Is it anxiety? Is it depression?
Well,
is it?
As I said, a woman, if she's going to get married, she's looking for a man who has equal or greater educational attainment. You look among people who've earned a college degree, women now number men 60 to 40 among new college grads. And right there, you've got a number. You're going to have a bunch of women there who will not be able to find a man with a college degree, because men who just earned a college degree, now a number of men who've just earned a college degree, might treat it too. Wow. But it's not just college educated women. Again, I'm a family doctor, a patient in my own practice, who I've known since she was a little girl. When this story takes place, she's a young woman with two kids at home. And I said, Lauren, I bumped into Brett the other day, and he's going on and on about how great you are and how funny you are and how pretty you are. And he's asked you to marry him twice. I said, Lauren, why don't you want to marry the father of your two children?
Wow.
And she said, Dr. Sachs, I already got two babies at home. I don't need a third.
Wow.
If a woman's going to marry, she wants a man who has equal or greater ambition, motivation, achievement. And there are not enough good men to go around. Yeah, there's lots of good men, but there aren't enough of them. We've got a growing proportion of young men who would rather sit home, play their video games, and look at their pornography. There's not a whole lot of women who want to just stay home and masturbate over pornography. We're losing a growing segment of young men.
Maggie, why don't you open your mic? I know you have a perspective on this as well as a young 30-some-year-old woman who's engaged.
Yeah, well, I mean, it took me a long time to find Joe. But I have all brothers, and I think being the youngest sister and watching them grow up too, I've been keenly aware as this tide has turned in our culture that there's a lot of women also now in our culture who want to perpetrate bad behavior towards men that they perceived have been done to them. And so, like, men have so much going against them now. There's so much falling on their shoulders. Men don't need to be like broad brushed or bashed. They need to be inspired. Right. And as a woman, we have to own up to the fact that, you know, we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard in order for men to come up to a higher standard. We shouldn't be taking birth control. We shouldn't be allowing them to get away with no consequences. If we hold ourselves to a standard, they will follow suit. Yeah. But, you know, it's a complicated issue.
There you go, Doc. It's a young female perspective here. Your thoughts?
Well, I think the mainstream culture, and by the mainstream, I mean the culture of the New York Times, National Public Radio, is undermining this notion that men and women are different. In the mainstream, you can choose to be whatever you want, and anyone who says otherwise is an idiot, a Republican, or both. But in fact, men and women are different. And what motivates men is different from what motivates women. Again, men are motivated, many of them, to consume pornography. Women are much less motivated to consume pornography. That's a real hardwired difference.
Yeah.
And if we don't respect those hardwired sex differences, we end up with young men and young women who are confused, who aren't meeting their own expectations for what they want to be. And then you get the anxiety and the depression and the disengagement.
Danny in Central Coast, California. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I think Maggie just kind of touched on the point I want to make. And because a lot of the theme of this conversation seems to be how the boys are failing, how they're not living up to the expectations that the girls have. But something your guest, is it a doctor?
Yeah, Dr. Leonard Sachs. A
doctor said about the boys preferring in the colleges not to go to dances because they consider the online girls prettier. I think there's also a failure on the part of the ladies. It's just, you know, that the boys are off. They don't want it. It's the equivalent of the girls wanting to hang out with their girlfriends and cuddling.
Yeah.
The boys want to hang out with the girls, the porn girls, basically. So I think kind of Maggie touched on it. It's a complicated issue. And I think the girls are we should be looking at their behavior also, just to kind of even things out.
Well, Danny, I'm glad you brought it up. Let me just interject here, and I'll let Dr. Sachs respond. I did speak to a young man. He's 29 years old, and he's not married. He's not really even dating, but in some relationships. And this guy was telling me, he says, you know something? You know, when girls are looking for a guy, they want a guy that has X amount of dollars, X amount of job, what his profile picture looks like. I mean, they have this criteria now that they go through, and it puts a lot of pressure on guys too, doctor. So it is kind of a two-way street, isn't it? I mean, women have certain expectations. They won't even entertain certain guys who maybe don't meet that particular criteria.
Well, of course, the culture has changed. Drew, you and I are old enough to remember when most young women wanted to be married.
Yeah.
And saw that as an essential part of becoming an adult. But researchers recently interviewed young women at university, and it turns out that the young women were less likely than young men. The majority of the young men said, yeah, I expect to get married one day, but the majority of the young women in the study said, no. why
they're one of these losers, one of the young women said. So the assumption that you and I grew up with, Drew, which is that you grow up, you get married, and you start a family, that's an assumption that's just not shared by many young American women. They don't see that as necessary or even likely in many cases. So they're living according to a different life script, and that's a really fundamental issue, I think.
That sounds great. I'll tell you what, I've got to take a short pause here, Doctor. Stay with me when we come back. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. We're talking today with Dr. Leonard Sachs. Came across a fascinating article talking about why most men today are single. A lot of women aren't, and you're hearing both sides of that conversation. The conversation will continue. Stay with me.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Taking care of business every day.
He has a microphone and he knows how to use it. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's so good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. If you are maybe just turning us on, Dr. Leonard Sachs joins us, longtime contributor to the program here, a gifted psychologist and physician from Exton, Pennsylvania. Wrote a couple books. You may want to check them out. Boys Adrift, it might be very appropriate for our conversation today, but also The Collapse of Parenting, Why Gender Matters is another one. Girls on the Edge, he's covered all of this, and he's seen a lot in his practice. I came across some headlines that I wanted to invite him on for, and it deals with why men, so many men today are single, and what women are looking for in a man. And doctor, let's jump right to the phones. I know a lot of people have been waiting for a while to join you. Let me first go to Martha in Minnesota. Martha, good afternoon. Appreciate you waiting so long.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on. First of all, I just want to say bravo, because this is one of the most real and honest conversations about this subject that I've heard on Relevant Radio. I'm a widowed mother of two that are 21 and almost 23. I hear all of this, and I've stood back and thought, this is everything you've said is exactly what I've looked at as far as even the trans community, why women are just like, yeah, I'm really not interested in identifying with that sort of woman. Also the dating culture, and also being a widow at 47 years old, people ask me, aren't you interested in dating? I'm like, absolutely not. Have you seen what's out there?
Wow.
My daughter has struggled. My son actually struggles the opposite way. He's been to places. He says, Mom, I have a little bit of less faith in humanity. You should have saw how the girls were acting. Wow. I think girls have a responsibility too. I think that unfortunately, girls are falling into this illusion that acting like Cardi B or the Kardashians is what being a woman is. They fall into a trap.
Yeah, I feel bad.
That says, yeah, and it's that whole old adage, men play at love to get sex and women play at sex to get love.
Yeah.
And it's such a sad culture, but I just want to say bravo. Because this honest conversation is what I see in real life.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Martha.
Not only being a widow, but with my kids. So,
thank you for those words, for your insight, and I wish you the very best. Doctor, I'll let you respond to her.
Yeah, so she and the woman who spoke earlier both talked about what's the role of a woman. And again, when I lead these conversations at school, and I will often meet with the girls and talk about what does it mean to have self-respect. And again, I call only on girls who have their hands raised, but I try to guide that conversation. And the place I'm guiding it to is that if you have self-respect, you don't share half-naked photos on Instagram or videos on TikTok. you have some respect for your personal dignity. But girls, researchers at Northwestern interviewed teenage girls and said, why do you share these?
Yeah.
When boys ask you for these photos, why do you give them? And the most common answer to girls was, I don't know how to say no.
Yeah.
No one has taught them that, hey, being a woman with a dignity means that you can say no. It's okay to say no. They think it's not okay to say no, to have some modesty.
You know, I think part of where we've gotten here too, Doctor, is with these cell phones. I mean, these images, these Instagram and TikTok and everything, as young girls are growing up with these false ideals of what they have to look like or how they have to perform, it has really skewed their image of themselves as well as, you know, what they expect from a man. And the reverse is true too. I think it's vice versa. I only have a few minutes. Let me get to Allison in League, Texas. Or League City, Texas. We'll get her on the air as well.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Doctor. I just wanted to chime in real quick. The other thing, too, I believe is that young ladies are just a bit confused when they see a very attractive woman, you know, cross by, and they think automatically, oh, well, maybe I'm attracted to women. No, this person just happens to be beautiful, and you recognize it, and that's it. Bottom line, you know, and you're not lesbian. You're not bisexual. You just happen to recognize that God, you know, God made another beautiful human being, and that's it. Case closed.
All right. Doctor, I'll let you respond. I have about a minute or two left.
Yeah. So one of the oldest findings in this research is you look at the covers of magazines for women and you see pictures of women.
Yeah.
You look at the covers of magazines for men and you see lots of pictures of women. Humans seem to find the young female form more attractive in, as a general rule, on average, than the male form. But as the caller said, just because you're a woman who can appreciate a beautiful woman doesn't mean that you're lesbian or bisexual.
Right.
But again, the culture is so confused. At public schools, kids are hearing lesbian, gay, bisexual, that's cool. Straight is boring. Straight is conforming. You're gender conforming. Who wants to be a conformist? LGBT is cool. It's non-conforming.
Yeah. Mary was in Florida. She said that her son, who's a teen for the past 4 years, claims he's bisexual because he hasn't had any real socialization with women. Is this part of the problem with this confusion that we're having out there? Lack of socialization, false ideals, people...
Well, I also think the problem, again, is that the public schools especially are holding up LGBT as enlightened, as cool. And teenagers, more than any other age group, they want to be cool. They don't want to be boring and conformist. So I do think the public schools bear a lot of the blame for this confusion we see among so many young people.
Well, Doctor, I want to thank you for being here. I've got to leave it right there. Your book, Boys Adrift, what would you recommend? What's the best book for people to address this issue?
On this topic, definitely Boys Adrift, which explores the role of pornography and why we have so many boys who would now prefer to stay at home and look at screens rather than take the chance of courting a young woman.
Well, thank you, Doctor. Good to have you with you. You can find his book at leonardsacks.com. That's leonardsacks.com. Number of different books. Always great to talk with him. Hey, I'm up against the clock. I only have a moment or two left. I just leave you with this final thought, if I could. You know, in a world where impurity is so rampant, where there's such spiritual confusion, this is all the hallmark of the evil one. You know, Sister Lucia de Santos, she said that you know, one of the great, the final confrontation with Satan will be over marriage and family, right? And that's what we're seeing. Who's the answer? What's the answer? Well, the symbol of purity, the symbol of virtue, the symbol of obedience, the symbol of true motherhood and of femininity and of womanhood. The Blessed Virgin Mary. If you're having these issues in your family or personally, turn to her. Turn to St. Joseph this month. Ask her intercession. I guarantee you,